This is CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com on a Monday morning. I hope you're ready to start your week and get cracking. There's lots to get into today. We've got to talk about The Bachelor. We've got to talk about this bizarre situation that is unraveling in Chicago, where the actor from the show Empire, Jussie Smollett, has been involved in a situation. I think I might have brought this up like a week and a half ago when it actually happened, because it was very suspicious at the time. Jussie Smollett.
Mm-hmm.
That's his name.
Smollett.
That's a good name, right? Smollett, whatever.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how to pronounce it. But let's start off with The Bachelor, because I got to see the repeat yesterday. I don't know how to use my catch-up. I mean, it shouldn't be that hard. But I don't have a degree in catch-up, so I'm useless. And Ben and Sia and Leanne watched it as well, and we all thought that would be worth talking about. So this show is South Africa's first attempt at the very successful American franchise of The Bachelor. I think they're on to like their fourth or fifth season in America. Right?
Way more. Oh, no. Oh, like in their 20s going into 30s.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, this is an institution, Gareth. People have grown up. There's children made from The Bachelor who are already in university.
And have any of these relationships lasted?
I'm not sure.
Do they have to?
Some of them sort of last.
Okay. Look, I watched. This is the first time I've actually watched an episode. And it's very difficult for me to get my head around it. So what we've got here is, we've got a guy who's ostensibly looking for his true love.
Yes.
Yes, and he makes it very clear.
Okay, so is he genuinely looking for this, or is this this is why he was cast for the show?
Well, from his opening monologues, which are interesting.
Well, they're insufferable. Okay, but
yeah. But I mean, it's all about the fact that he's been very closed off. He hasn't been vulnerable yet in his life.
Vulnerable, that's what he says.
And this is his chance for true love, Gareth. He's put himself out there. 24 women have thrown themselves at him.
Now, this is very weird. In what social situation would this ever occur? I watched the episode, and it bothered me. These 24 girls, they all get put in this house together. Well, they're not living there, but they get put in a situation where, and now he gets to spend a little bit of time, but they're all kind of queuing up to be with him.
Yes.
And like trying to get each other out of the way. I mean, it's the worst kind of competition you've ever seen. None of these girls get quality time with him.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to have a conversation with all of them. And then he gives out roses.
Well, yes. So there's roses for various things.
Okay.
So as we all
have different colored roses. I mean, that's the first thing I would suggest to the producers. Like the first impression rose should maybe be yellow or orange.
Okay, and then, you're overthinking all of this.
No, I'm
too
serious.
Much.
Like, no, yeah, make it
I
easy.
Agree.
Make it
I
easier for
you.
People to follow. I don't know this format at all. I've never watched The Bachelor before. It's horrifying to me that people would put themselves through this.
So we all committed to this. Let's give it a go.
Sure. Okay.
So, yes, there was the first impression rose, Gareth. Now, Michelle Reddy, 29, from Durban.
Yeah.
She got the first impression rose because she made the best first impression.
I liked her.
She was beautifully dressed. She held herself with great composure.
She's also smart. She speaks well. She made a huge amount of sense in her little
discussion. She's a computer marketing specialist.
There we go.
But I feel like there's a bitchinism in there somewhere. I'm just saying.
Stop it. Stop being a bitch. Yes, some other bitches, they're bitching.
Wait, four episodes in, there'll be something.
Four episodes in, I reckon there's going to be a stabbing.
Exactly.
Because, you know, all these, like, the funny thing is that there's so much estrogen in this room. It's just like you can sense it. Like, when these girls walk in, they all get critiqued by the other girls, right?
Oh.
So the first couple walk in, and they're just like basic chit chat. And then, because they're all wearing these lovely dresses, right?
Mm.
And you can just see, like, the judgment coming through. It is harsh. But great TV. It really is.
So three already got eliminated, and we're not going to talk about those three. But who did you like? I mean, like, if you had to choose, and Sia, let's imagine for a minute you were into women, and you had to choose three girls.
I already have my couple of favorites.
Or you had to choose a girl. Let's just say you get
okay,
one.
Okay, well,
or two
look, I'll start. I've got the list in front of me. Okay, so Michelle was the first impression rose winner, right?
I liked her, yeah.
Okay, so she was definitely someone who was a favorite going forward.
Right.
I think this other girl, Edith, definitely held herself
amazing sequence jumpsuit. Oh, I mean to pretend
amazing
like
sequence
girl.
Jumpsuit.
You're that tot chicka.
She's 27. She is from Rustenburg originally.
Rustenburg. Okay.
So I think she did herself a good service in that first innings.
Okay.
Then there was, trying to pick a top three. I keep forgetting names. See, I'm really into this. Then Chenille Duplessis is hot. Let's be honest here.
Chenille Duplessis.
Remind me what she does.
She does modeling.
Okay. Well,
oh,
then
no.
She's,
oh,
yeah, then she's
no.
Hot.
She's the one who couldn't really speak. Oh, sorry.
No, no. She made the worst first impression. She, like, she offered him the sloppy handshake on the red carpet and looked like she had zero personality. Mm. No doubt she's hot, though. And then, who was the Reva's best friend again?
Gina Myers. Gina Myers. She's great. I like
so
her.
She seems to have a personality and a niceness to her that, that the Bachelor was definitely drawn to.
Yeah. Said, right? I have a top two, rather. It's Gina. Yes. At first, you know, as I said on Friday's show, when I hadn't watched it yet, and there were already those headlines swirling of
Yes, I heard you guys talking about her, yeah.
Yeah, I said I wasn't going to have an opinion up until I watched it. And knowing Gina from social circles here in Joburg, and now seeing her in this way, I think she'll get very far, and I think she's compatible to a certain extent with Lee, so I think she'll go very, very far in the competition. And then my second favorite is Kelly. She's 23 years old. She's like 23, but has a master's, and she has an online store or something. I think, yeah, they'll definitely, definitely go very far. Everybody else,
okay,
just,
see your Kelly's nice. Yeah, she's pretty.
Mm. She Even though cool. I think she's a bit too young.
I like the look of this girl called Kim Gray. She's 28, so she's slightly older.
Yeah, so she's into the fitness and stuff. And yeah, the Bachelor's also into the fitness and stuff, I think.
I don't know why she didn't make much of an impression on me.
Okay, so regardless of who we think are the best. Yes. So he's going to now choose. So three of them had to go home already, which is so humiliating. Because what happens is they say, okay, ladies. The host says, okay, now you got to say goodbye to the bitches who've been thrown out.
I know, and you're all going to act like you were friends, but actually you'll hate yourself. So Sandy Thompson's gone. She was one of the twins. She's 31.
Can we talk about that moment? How would you feel if you were one of the twins? And like it's either...
Whoever knows a less hotter twin, yeah. But I think she's had that before that day.
That is my thing.
Before that moment, I think she had that already.
I would feel kind of some type of way.
Great.
And more so, I think actually the twin who left was the better looking of the two. But I'm not being horrible.
Well, look, I think they flipped a coin there, let's be honest. I don't think they took too much thought into it. Taryn Champion, she's also gone. She was 29 when this happened.
She reminds me of someone, I dare say, like Vicky Sampson, who sang My African
Dream.
She
looks like Lady Leah.
Yes.
And then I don't remember the other one who was eliminated. She was in a blue dress.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She seemed very clingy. She had a lot of anxiety around trying to get her 5 minutes with The Bachelor. Her name was Chantal van Arde. She's 26.
A lot of anxiety.
See, but this is why
it's
the show,
so weird. All right.
This is why the show is worth watching, because it is so cringe, but it's
I want a psychologist to tell us about what's going on here. Like underlying, you know, the superficial stuff we can see, but I want to know what's going on underneath the skin. Because these girls, there was a lot of anxiety. They were all kind of perched, waiting for their turn.
Mm.
Now, I know that this is a TV show, so that half of it we can disregard. It's probably the producers trying to make TV look good.
Exactly.
Because a lot of these people are probably quite boring. And they've been told, you know, you say this, or why don't you... Because suggestions like this are what make these TV shows happen. You know, you'll have the producer or a script writer or whoever, you know, some kind of advisor come in and say, listen, I've noticed that you aren't getting into any attention. You should really make more of an effort. And then that girl will step up. Because most...
You should really hate that girl.
Most South Africans are not natural performers. No. They're not good at this.
But that's why I think seeing and judging the first episode thus far, I'm really impressed by the production value. You know, like one of the main things that sets The Bachelor apart and now in its ridiculous sense in the United States are the entrances in the first episode when each girl has walked up and has to make themselves memorable and do some quirky thing. We really actually were looking impressive. There was a girl who walked up with a cake. There was a girl who, the Bella girl who started slow dancing.
He dropped her cook right there.
Dropped her cook. There was another girl who spoke in a different language. I really thought, wow, okay. In terms of production quality, you know, sometimes in South Africa, we have this amazing show, but you start squinting your eyes a bit and you see the microphone in the shot. Or sometimes you see some wires hanging out, or sometimes the sound quality will be bad. I think this really stands in the international quality that we've now come to know.
I agree. I mean, even the presenter's got more Botox than the woman, and he's a guy. I mean, they're attention to detail.
Mean on J- to Jason.
No, but I'm saying, let's get, when are we getting Jason in here?
The attention detail is brilliant.
Should we get him in as well?
We want Jason in here. We want Lee in here.
We're getting Lee in first.
So, yeah, it's a compliment. He's dedicated to his craft. That forehead will not move in the entire series, and you've got to applaud that.
So
he's there to present.
So here's what's funny about it. I was watching it yesterday. I went to my folks' house for dinner, and this was on before. So I'm sitting there, and I'm watching this. Because, I mean, also, I don't know whether my TV works or not. I really don't. I haven't turned it on for ages. So I'm sitting there, and so my dad walks in. He's like, "What is this shit?"
No, you have to explain yourself.
Right? So this is how my dad talks. So I go, "Oh, it's this show called The Bachelor. I've got to watch it because everybody on the show is watching, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow." So he sits down. So first thing is, Lee says something like, "I trust my gut feel," or whatever. So my dad goes, "Huh, your gut feel, you could see that woman's useless. What's your, you're a gut feel asshole, that's what you are." Straight away. Then this one chick is like, "Oh, I really think that my time with Lee was special." My dad goes, "Oh, you fucking mad. What are you talking about? There's no, you had no special connection. You're an idiot."
Your dad actually seems like the perfect person to watch the show.
I'm going to record him next time. Exactly. I'm going to watch it with him again. It's going to, I thought about it while he was talking, but then I didn't want him to know. It's hilarious. He's so rude about everyone. I mean, he just has no interest in this kind of show at all. Most men don't, let's be fair.
Mm.
Like, this is a show designed for girls.
Sure.
Right?
Fantasy.
But I'm happy to put what little of masculinity there is, leave it at the door and enjoy the show. And it was very, very weird. I do want to know what the psychology of all these girls is, that they're going to compete with each other. It's a very unnatural situation
Absolutely.
To be in, right? Very unnatural.
Oh, is it though?
No, it's
see, it's unnatural. The Bachelorette. That seems like an unnatural kind of thing with so many guys. Because let's be honest, there's women at a certain age are definitely campaigning for fewer nice guys. Whereas there's lots of women out there that guys can choose from. Go to any bar setting.
I'd have to say it's still unnatural on the premise that, firstly,
well, you know, women are the selectors, right? Like, women are the ones in any. Mammal society. Women are the ones who make the sexual selection.
Yes, once the man has made the advances and done the hunting.
But the woman chooses him, ultimately.
Mm.
Yeah, but now they're queuing up in a garden saying, "I had a great moment when I was third in the queue and our eyes met."
This is why it's weird. Oh, it's so funny.
Firstly, someone play a violin for Lee's story at the beginning of the episode.
What was his story?
"I grew up in PE, and then I come from a broken family, and like my dad left us, so I've always wanted to have a family of my own." Like,
you're such a bitch.
You are such a bitch. And you're giving me crap about Botox comment.
Like, okay.
The guy came from a broken family, and he grew up in PE. What more do you want? To have rickets?
You were born in PE,
My
Ben.
Parents decided what happened, and they took me out of there. Don't make light of sufferings here.
I get, and now the like he drops it every 2.3 seconds with his interaction with the girls.
He said it twice, okay?
2.3 seconds.
He said it twice, and the girls didn't like.
Already too much. And I do think it is unnatural.
This should be the wild card contestant just coming in and going, "Oh, Lee, I'm so tired of your sob story."
No.
And he'll be like, "Jeepers.
What an unkind and sensitive person.
I'm giving you
the
mean bitch rose. It's black with like bugs all over it."
No, I think the show is unnatural.
part of
what makes it so interesting to watch is because it's slightly a disaster waiting to happen.
Of course it is, and we love that.
You have the competition between the girls who want to one-up each other. Then you also have the competition of just the girls getting all up in their emotions, hoping to fall in love. And then it's also this added aspect of all of this will be filmed for television. So I'm really waiting to see what's going to happen.
I'm also going to record Daniela's comments because she'll probably contrast your dad's comments from a female perspective.
Does she like it?
She's mean.
Oh, yeah. She's mean, is she?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think I'm mean.
Wow, okay.
What do you think about the selection of the girls overall?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, I also thought
pretty good because, let's be honest, we're, again, selecting from society in a certain way, right?
Mm.
And I think there's a couple of attractive girls, there's a couple of really dumb girls, there's a couple of really unattractive girls. As a couple of very annoying girls. And
yeah.
I think that is what society is.
I also think there's some girls who just don't stand a chance at all, but they're great for entertainment value.
They are rose fodder.
There was the one girl who, She has 50,000 Instagram followers, and she's a social media influencer. That's what she goes by. That's what she says is her job. And I think,
how, you haven't been stabbed in a car park before?
But jeepers. I don't think she's in it at all for the love. I don't think she stands a chance with me.
Look at this bitch with her Instagram followers. That's all she's got.
But she's just there with the comments, and she's going to stir up shit. So it's going to be so fun to watch.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. I think this is going to be good. We're all part of Bachelor Nation.
Oh, now we are. Yep. Clear your Thursday evenings if ESCOM doesn't have its way with us.
So that's what's going to happen. We'll talk about it every Friday.
And today, obviously, was the exception.
Mm. Okay, so basically, on Wednesday, what we're going to do is I'm going to give everyone.
So if you hate this, by the way, then you can just avoid Friday mornings.
Learn to love it, because we'll find avenues that will make it entertaining. I'm going to put a list together so we all have names, and then once they get eliminated, we all have names.
And can we have photos as well? Because I'm not going to remember all the names.
So I'm going to make cards, basically, and we all have our own team, and then the winner at the end will have to be like, yes, that's my one.
Why don't we place our bets and like maybe turn it into a board game or something?
Yeah.
I'll make cards, and then I know Leanne will be part of this.
Yeah, she loves it. She said that the Bachelor made her sick, but then I suppose that's true for a lot of us. All right. There's another story that's going on that's got a lot of attention. This actor, Jussie Smollett, he is in Empire. He plays the son.
Mm-hmm. The one of the Lion family members.
So he's in...
Jamal Lyon.
But he's in real life, he's also gay, right?
Yeah.
And he was ostensibly, I mean, this was the story he reported to the police, he was attacked in Chicago at -8 degrees Celsius, as it was 2 weeks ago. He was on his way. He got a sandwich from Subway. He was on his way home. Now, Chicago, because it's a dangerous place, is covered in cameras. So there is a period of about 60 seconds where he's not on camera. The rest of the time, he's all on camera. In those 60 seconds where he's not on camera, he alleges he was attacked by two white men who were shouting, "This is MAGA country, make America great again country." So they're obviously Trump supporters and white racists. And they put a rope around his neck, poured bleach on him, and said that they'd seen him on the show Empire, and that they hated him because he was black and gay.
Yeah, he's the Empire N-word, and...
So it was a hate crime.
Yeah, allegedly called him the F-word.
So he gets back to his apartment, or the hotel room, or whatever it is he's staying at. And we've got him on camera for every other period except these 60 seconds where this alleged assault is meant to have taken place. So there are a couple of problems here. First of all, he emerged from the 60 seconds that he was supposedly attacked in with his sandwich in his hand still. That seems to me strange, that you would have held on to your sandwich.
Even if it was a very good sandwich.
If you were being attacked, it would not be the first thing that you would think to hold on to, right? You might want to get your fists ready for some activity, or you know, you might want to brace yourself and drop the sandwich, or, you know, have your wits about you. Second thing is, he had the rope on, but it wasn't tight. It was a rope, which we'll find out in a minute what happened, because they've been investigating this. He waited for an extended period of time before he called the cops. Then when the cops arrived, they asked to see his phone. And he said, no, you can't have my phone. When they eventually did get the phone, he had deleted a whole lot of calls, because he'd apparently been on the phone to his manager, as the phone records later revealed, because they went and got the actual records. But he had gone through his phone and curated what he had. So it looked like a different story to what was actually in the phone records. There's a lot going on here that's very, very strange. Here's what he said on Good Morning America, okay? Just to give you an idea of where we're at. Here it is.
I mean, I come really, really hard against 45. I come really, really hard against his administration.
So he's talking about Donald Trump. So he's trying to position himself now as being one of the big voices against Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, administration.
That's the thing.
And I don't hold my tongue.
I want to ask you about Jussie Smollett.
I think that's horrible. It doesn't get worse, as far as I'm concerned.
Were you aware that he made that statement?
I saw it. I don't know what to say to that. You know? you know, I appreciate him not brushing over it.
And there is no doubt in your mind what motivated this attack.
I could only go off of their words. I mean, who says empire, this MAGA country, ties a noose around your neck and pours bleach on you? And this is just a friendly fight? I will never be the man that this did not happen to.
That is such a weird thing to say. I will never be the man that this did not happen to. It's such a, there's so many negatives in that that it almost doesn't make sense as a positive sentence. What he means is, I am the man this happened to. Why would you say, I will never be the man this did not happen to? Anyway, look, psychologists can have a field day with him. So what's happened is that the police...
Sorry, can I start it back a bit? When you have bleach put on you, that's a serious, serious injury.
Yeah.
Do we have photos here of like...
No. No, and there's nothing. His hair is not a different color. I mean, that's the first thing that would happen. Like,
and he took a picture, his first public picture after the alleged attack. He just had like a bruise under one of his eyes, and that was it.
I just want to go to the call quickly. Hey, good morning. Let's just, there's someone waiting on the line here. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, what's up?
Good, good, man. Listen, I received a very interesting video clip over the weekend, and then I went and Googled the stuff, and I actually came across it. So, you know, our president, Mr. Ramaphosa, and then the minister for, what's it, renewable energy, Jeff Radebe.
Mm-hmm.
So, guess who they both married to?
Oh, this is that whole conspiracy. Okay, let me just help you with this one.
Well, not conspiracy.
All right, so first of all, Cyril is married to Tsepo Motsepe, who's Patrice Motsepe's older sister.
Yes.
All right. Bridget Radebe is the other sister, Bridget Motsepe originally. She's married to Jeff Radebe. Jeff Radebe has been in government since the Mandela administration in various roles. Cyril was always a favorite of Nelson Mandela's. He, of course, went into private business, married Tsepo Motsepe, who's the first lady now. And the Motsepe family, therefore, have a president as a son-in-law or brother-in-law, and they have a minister as another brother-in-law, son-in-law.
Yeah, but do you know about, AREP? What's it called? African Rainbow Energy and Power.
That's Patrice's company. Business, yeah.
Correct, and it consists out of three parts. It's generation, transmission, and distribution.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just funny that those three words popped up at Sona from Ramaphosa saying that he's going to decentralize Eskom, and it was into those three.
Yeah,
well, groups.
Let's see if...
That's interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you. And let's see if African Rainbow Energy and Minerals gets some stake in this, if they get a piece of the pie.
Because I know that there's 27... it's actually on the net, if you Google it. So there was a deal signed from Ramaphosa with 27 individual power supply companies. Jeff Radebe doesn't want to release those names as of yet to who those companies belong.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, it's like you say, it's a conspiracy theory, but you never know.
We got to sit on this. I agree with you. It's a good thing to watch. All right, thanks, dude.
Yeah. Shot, guys.
Cool. Bye-bye. We just got to the Jussie Smollett story again, because we hear about a lot of hate crime, and we hear a lot of, and there really isn't a lot of racism and hate crime. There isn't. There just isn't. The media love when the story's like, because clearly when this story broke out, everyone in the mainstream media in America said, oh, hate crime. I mean, it was brought up to the president. You heard him there, and he said, it's disgusting. This is a terrible thing. It's the worst thing that can happen.
And this is why we need to constantly check ourselves as well and check the information that we get and check where we heard from.
You would think.
Everyone jumped on this, and no one said alleged attack.
No, they said attack.
Just because he's lovable.
Hey, now, by the way.
Just because he's famous.
I would love anybody to... You can comb through Chicago, and you will not find a MAGA supporter. You won't find a Make America Great Again supporter. I think Donald Trump, I don't think he got one vote in the whole of Chicago. So first of all, it's a bad place to choose to be attacked by racists. because if you're going to make up this kind of story, which we'll find out in a minute he did, certainly it looks like that from the evidence, you're not going to find a racist white empire viewer, by the way, which is another strange thing. Like if you're a racist and you're a white supremacist, why would you watch Empire? It's pretty much a black show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another thing about this that makes it very suspicious, is they say that they were going to write Jussie Smollett's character out of the show.
Out of the series, yeah.
So he's clearly looking for attention. And he realizes that the best way to get attention, because you can lead the media by the nose, is to say that you were racially attacked. And guess what? The show's writers have come back and said, no, we would never write Jussie out of the show, especially after this attack. Because, you know, it would be victimizing him. Well, he seems like he quite enjoys the way he's been portrayed as a victim. Listen to him in his own words, and then you can make up your own mind. And I'll tell you what other things have emerged from the police report since.
Ever changed. And I don't subscribe to the idea that everything happens for a reason, but I do subscribe to the idea that we have the right and the responsibility to make something meaningful out of the things that happen to us, good and bad.
So that's what he said then. Here's what he says about how it feels to be doubted, because he's now, since the alleged incident, a lot of people are saying, hey, dude, there's plenty here that does not make sense. Here's what he says.
It feels like if I had said it was a Muslim or a Mexican or someone black, I feel like the doubters would have supported me a lot more. And that says a lot about the place that we are in our country right now.
No, I think it says quite a lot about his mental health, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where identity politics leads you to. You see everybody's groups. You see everything as a level of victimhood. And in his case, this ideology has become something which made him take part in an activity here, because it clearly emerges from the evidence that's been proffered that there was never an attack. Two Nigerian brothers were brought in for questioning, and they said that they were basically employed to do this to black Nigerian dudes. To do this so that Jussie could create a situation where it looked like a hate crime had been perpetrated. There was no hate crime. There were no MAGA supporters or people racially abusing him. Or these guys bought the rope at a hardware store. They found the receipts.
They literally have the receipts.
They have the receipts. And they're like, you know what? Mea culpa. Jussie hired us to do this. Now, I want to know, since it's all made up. But here, before we get to that, let him just talk some more about this so you can see how deep the hole is he's digging for himself.
I'm pissed off.
What is it that has you so angry? Is it the attackers?
But it's also the attacks. It's like, you know, at first it was a thing of like, listen, if I tell the truth, then that's it, because it's the truth. Then it became a thing of like, oh, how can you doubt that? Like, how do you not believe that? It's the truth. And then it became a thing of like, oh, it's not necessarily that you don't believe that this is the truth. You don't even want to see the truth.
This is someone who's talking themselves into circles here. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense at all.
No,
two questions.
Right. Mental health issues.
It's a serious problem. So two questions here. Number one, why would someone pretend to have something like this done to them? Because that does damage to the people who actually have race and hate attacks upon them. I mean, you imagine, like, you live in a country like America where there's a lot of tension around things like race and around issues of homophobia. And as a guy who is black and gay, you're not helping people who are really being – you're a privileged actor.
Mm-hmm.
You make this up. Clearly, he's made the whole thing up. He made it happen. It's a bullshit story. What are you saying about people who really have this happen to them, who've been beaten up,
who've been killed? Even on the grounds of it being an act for attention, it's quite a stupid and risky thing to do.
Very, very. I mean, it's going to backfire horribly now.
Horribly.
But the
How
other
did
question,
he think he was going to get away with it, if it is fake?
So think about that one for a minute, because maybe you've got a better answer than me. And then the second part of this is, why do the media grab a story? Because the narrative works for them. It's going to get attention. Race attack, hate crime. Without checking on it. Without making sure that this is something that's verifiably true. And even when you hear Jussie Smollett talking about this now, the way he talks, he doesn't really know what truth is. He thinks his experience is the truth. The experience he's made up in his head.
Yeah.
But
he believes that to be true, and anyone who doubts him is also an attacker. Mm-hmm. This is how he sees the world. There's something very wrong here. There's something very messed up about this whole situation.
I really watch this Good Morning America interview quite objectively, and I was instantly geared to an opinion, though, when he was justifying why he didn't originally hand over his phone to the police. And he said, oh, no, because I have very famous numbers on my phone and I have private photos and videos. Mm. Excuse me? If this is a situation of like life and death and you really want these people to now have their time in the authorities' eyes and you are concerned about you have, I don't know, Oprah's number, that's not the major priority.
By the way, a whole lot of celebrities also jumped on this bandwagon and came to his support after this, after the alleged attack.
As you say, it suits the narrative.
So they were all, now they're all going to have to dial back on that too and say, hey, Jussie, we don't support you talking shit.
With all the rapid developments in the case, Smollett's much publicized interview with ABC's Robin Roberts is also under the microscope. We had two behavioral science experts watch the video to get their take. Here's Diane McInerney.
Does Jussie Smollett's TV interview hold clues to the many questions being raised about his story?
They're questioning whether the attack even happened.
The story just becomes more and more confusing.
Inside Edition asked two experts in behavioral science to analyze the Empire actor's demeanor when he spoke with Robin Roberts. Behavioral expert Wendy Patrick says she was struck by his smile.
Why would somebody be smiling when they're talking about something like this?
Sometimes the mannerisms don't match the message, but that's not always due to dishonesty. It's often due to nervousness.
Roger Strecker is another behavioral expert and has more than 30 years of experience in law enforcement. In his opinion, it's strange that Smollett shared so many unnecessary details.
We got back to the apartment. There was no food.
Explaining that the refrigerator was empty. And a lot of times, a person that's not being truthful will create extraneous information that's not necessary or really wasn't part of the predicate question.
He also points to the actor's rapid blinking. And there was the matter of him breaking eye contact.
Then I was like, there's bleach on me too.
Whenever he was responding to what we call a stressor or trigger question, his eye contact with the moderator veered to the left, to the right, and downwards.
Based on everything that you've seen, do you think he's lying?
I can't say that this particular behavior was 100% deceptive, but it certainly caused me some concern.
But Wendy Patrick says there could be an innocent explanation for all that nervous energy.
Sure, he's a public figure. He's used to being on television, but he's not used to being in a setting like this.
Yeah, I don't know, huh? I mean, it's now turned out because these brothers have come forward.
The alleged assault of Empire actor Jussie Smollett is growing. Last night, police released two men who had been detained for questioning earlier in the week. Carter Evans now has more on the unanswered questions that remain.
The two Nigerian brothers arrested in connection with the assault on Empire actor Jussie Smollett are no longer suspects. They're now cooperating with police. A source close to the investigation confirms to CBS News the brothers told detectives Smollett paid them to participate in the alleged attack on January 29th and that they purchased a rope found around Smollett's neck at a nearby hardware store. The source says detectives have evidence to corroborate the sale, something the men's attorney alluded to Friday night.
New evidence that was brought to their attention. Obviously, I had it. Obviously, my clients had it.
Police say the two men, identified as Ola and Abel Osundairo, were captured on surveillance video when Smollett said he was attacked.
There's any justice.
Ola Osundairo is connected to Smollett through the hit show Empire, where he played a prisoner in season two.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. So the whole thing's just very confusing. And I do think like this indicates, you see, you've got to have something to fight against if you're going to be an identitarian, if you're going to be one of these people who's constantly claiming that you're a victim and there's oppression and all this shit going on. You have to have a real enemy. And if you're going to pay two guys to pretend to be your enemy, to create a victim narrative, you've got some serious problems.
But silver lining, ladies, if you want to just brighten up your day, you can Googled these two brothers who yeah, supposedly
they're bought
because my
pretty ripped.
Anyway, look, and yeah, and there's still reports as to how much they were supposedly paid. Someone says they were paid like $4,000 on condition that they leave the country and they go to Nigeria. And they came back on the Wednesday, and the Wednesday is when they were brought into police custody, and that's when they confessed to everything.
How much did you pay them?
$4,000 to orchestrate all of this. Oh. But once again, if it is all true that the incident is fake, such rookie error. Why do it in a public place? Why not say someone broke into your house? Why use someone you know? Why buy the rope yourself?
Do it in Chicago. I mean, where there are cameras everywhere. What the hell's wrong with you?
He should have actually gone to Nigeria himself.
He's not very smart.
He was on a UN goodwill mission.
Yeah, he's not very smart.
He's a slave to this piss poor ideology. So rational thought isn't the thing that goes. That happens.
I always say this. I'm an equal lover and equal hater. I've always loved Jesse. I thought he was amazing. If this is true, I think he needs to absolutely pay the price.
Sure.
And what that price is, though, I wonder, what do you think should happen from here on out?
Well, he's going to be arrested, because he's actually going to be arrested for what do they call it? Contempt of court, or
what does that mean?
He's started a case where there isn't a case. He's wasting the police and the court's time. So it's vexatious. You've made up a story, then you go to jail, or you have to pay a very big fine. So this is the end of his career, for sure. Dummy.
Do you want to talk about an incident that did actually happen?
Yeah, go.
You know, the guy who wrestled a mountain lion to his death with his bare hands?
Yes.
Do we believe this?
Yes. Okay, so this dude, he's finally, yes. Travis Kaufman, he's actually finally opened up about what happened. So he was going for a run in the Horsetooth Mountain open space of Fort Collins, Colorado, like he always does, February 4th. Horsetooth Mountain open space, yeah.
Okay.
When he heard an animal approaching him, so he turned, boom, there it was, a mountain lion. So he kind of raised his arms, he made a noise, he tried to do those things to kind of deter the mountain lion. Mountain lion is like, whatever, bitch, you're going down today. And the big cat pounced on him, grabbed his wrist in his hand.
Yeah.
And the dude straight away grabbed a rock, gave it two solid smacks to the back of the head, was not releasing. He then tried to stab the mountain lion with some twigs and branches, not happening. He managed to then somehow maneuver himself such a way that he got his foot on the mountain lion's throat, and from there he actually managed to kill the animal by unrelenting pressure on the mountain lion's throat. And he said, after a while, in this position that I was locked in, okay, the whole time his wrist is in the mountain lion's mouth, okay, that's locked on. So he's got his foot over the throat now, and now he sustained injuries to obviously his face and of course his wrist. And then eventually he felt, imagine the feeling of the mouth finally unclenching, and the thing was dead.
That's an amazing.
He then ran to the top of the hill, found some other runners. He was obviously covered in blood, and he said, look, I've just been attacked by a mountain lion. Take me to the hospital. And then rangers went, and they discovered, true to his story, that the mountain lion was there dead, been murdered by this guy, in self-defense, obviously. And it's just one of those really, really strange stories, because like the people of the Horsetooth Mountain Range open spaces, they said there's more chance of being struck by lightning or being bitten or attacked by a domestic dog than a mountain lion seeking you out. So I don't know what the age of the mountain lion is. Sometimes when the animals get old, they start acting a little bit irrationally. But what an incredible thing to have to force yourself to do.
So he choked it to death.
He managed to get his foot in the throat, and that's what happened.
Incredible.
Look, and not taking anything away from the guy, he's not exactly the picture of, you know, like a superhero, Rambo. He's just not
Grizzly Adams, is he? He's 5'10" and he weighs about 70 kilograms.
Just an ordinary bloke who is minding his own business. And then had to fight off a mountain lion.
And he didn't.
Imagine. When did it...
See, Jesse Smollett should have got him to do this.
Sure.
Jesse Smollett could have been out and up in the mountains somewhere. And this is how it would have been more convincing.
It has later been received that the mountain lion did say, this is mega country, what are you doing here?
Oh, is that so?
And that's what inspired him to go the extra mile to kill him.
Now, that's really impressive, actually.
By the way, I would... I would encourage anybody who has not listened to Trump's State of the Union speech to actually take a listen. I said I wasn't very interested, and Canthan Pillay last week told me it would have been a good idea if I had listened to it. So I did my homework. As a good student, I went home, and I listened. And I have to tell you, it was very, very good. Now, you can read what the press say about it, or you can go and listen for yourself. And I think you should maybe take a listen to it, because it's actually pretty damn interesting. All right. We've got a couple of emails. Do you want to get to one or two of those?
Yeah.
All right. Let's start with this one from Silindile, who says, so my little brother, Nelson Mhlongo, started this drive last year called Give Life No...
What?
Oh, Give Life Not Roses. I had to get that. Because, you know, in hashtags, they sometimes just run on, and you're not sure where the word stops and the next word starts. Give Life Not Roses. The purpose is to encourage people to show love in the month of love by donating blood. I mean, what better way to show love than by literally saving a life? So, we asked the blood bank in Musgrave, Durban, to put out enough bed bays and staff for us on Valentine's Day, the 14th of February, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., where everybody will donate. We invited some media. We wanted to invite you and the people who work at Cliff Central. Since I was only able to send this email today, I know it's unlikely that you guys would have come, but you can go to any blood bank and donate with it, and then take a pic with Give Life Not Roses on it and send it to us. I can't donate blood because I'm anemic to the point where I have a transfusion every year. I will be supporting the drive, though, even though I can't donate, by going to the blood bank and taking a pic in support. Can I also add that my husband and I listen to Cliff Central every morning, and he's just accepted that you are my crush since I was in high school. So thanks a million. That's from Silindile. And I think that that's great. Nelson Mhlongo, congratulations to you for coming up with an idea that actually makes a difference. And I hope it worked out really well. Obviously, we're a few days on from Valentine's Day, but a good idea nonetheless. I thought we'd give it some attention, right?
Halala.
Halala.
Halala ma freestata halala.
No, it's not freestat. This one's in KZN.
In the words of the great Claudie.
Here's another one. This is from Cassie. Cassie says, I like your ideas on a tax revolt and renaming. It's a good idea. I full-heartedly agree with all your points and hope you may many are listening. I have a suggestion. Instead of tax revolt, how about a tax redistribution? Companies invest PAYE in hospitals, schools, roads, etc. Retail stores stop charging VAT to give the economy a 15% boost. We go back to pre-tax days, 1930, when school, universities, hospitals, shelters, waterways, roads, and railways were crowdfunded by the community. That's an interesting point. With the extra money, we repair our own communities first, and then go on to uplift struggling communities, and eventually it will grow to assist neighboring countries. I know many people would gladly help in this manner. There will be those that will keep the excess money, but I believe they are few. Mark Passio is a guy who's passionate about natural law. Once we all understand natural law, we do not need to be policed or governed. From him, I learned a little bit of Latin. Govern equals control, ment equals mind. Uh-oh. Do we really need to be governed? After all, in 2016, Spain had no government for 300 or more days, and their economy grew, and unemployment dropped. That's an interesting observation I did not know about.
Yeah, it's very clear we don't need these pricks.
Love your show, and thanks for all the sciencey stuff. Send this on, and I'll send you some love. Blah, blah, blah. Cassie. Isn't that cool? All right.
Something so to chew on stuff and think about.
All righty. Are your data costs killing you?
Where do I sign up for the support group around this?
Well, the moment I get off the Wi-Fi, it's quick.
Your future is lit. With a game changer from Telkom. Become a Cliff Central listener, series binger, a playlist connoisseur, the ultimate movie buff. Access music services, TV series, movies, games, YouTube, and now even CliffCentral.com podcasts. Without using your data, just get to CliffCentral.com for a step-by-step guide on how to get lit with Telkom. It's a new bundle. You can go and find out all about it and get yourself lit, baby. That's the buzzword. That's what everyone's talking about. I don't know that we've got time for, there was this Oprah interviewing Beto O'Rourke. Maybe we'll save it for tomorrow. But Oprah's now hopping into the politics, and she's interviewing Beto, who's this guy from Texas. I think he ran for Texas governor, and he ended up losing. But he's a very big presidential.
He was a representative. Three times over. Okay. That's what I've heard. Yeah.
So we'll talk talk about Beto O'Rourke. It's a strange sort of name. It's not his real name.
His kids also have odd names.
His real name is Richard Francis O'Rourke. He's about as Irish as they get.
Okay, Beto sounds
better.
But
by calling himself Beto, he thinks he'll get the Spanish-American vote, you know? The Hispanic vote.
Do you think so?
Yeah, definitely. It's totally cynical.
Is that what was part of
it? Oh, for sure. Hello, my nombre es Beto. But we'll talk about him tomorrow. There isn't time now. Let's get to the un-news for this morning. You think that's funny? People trying to
I didn't know that.
People are reinventing themselves, Sia.
I thought that was his
age. Like when Madonna went to England and suddenly developed an English accent.
You call it reinvent, I call makeup. Jussie Smollett makes up stories. Beto makes up a name.
Yep. All right, it's been a fun Monday morning. Thank you for joining us. Here's the un-news, the stuff you need to know. Cyril Ramaphosa has assured everybody there will be no job shedding at Eskom, but probably still thinks there's going to be a lot of load shedding. I think we all do. This is sadly his only play in the situation, as when Cyril took a piss after his Sona speech, he looked down and realized there were no balls, and so no actions could ever really take place to fix our problems, especially at Eskom. Jussie Smollett is having a tough time at the moment. With his credibility in tatters, he's decided to become the face of the Flat Earth Society, something that has apparently done wonders for his waning celebrity appeal. And finally, the Proteas are still trying to come to terms with their shock loss to Sri Lanka. Faf du Plessis says his team don't have a problem dealing with pressure. They just have a problem with taking wickets when it matters. Opinions are divided over which is a bigger problem, of course. And that's it for us this morning. We will see you tomorrow, bright and early. Be careful of mountain lions. You never know when the next one's going to pop out of a bush and you have to choke it to death. Be careful on your Monday.
This is CliffCentral.com.